A new academic paper published in the prestigious International Affairs Journal, it's published by Oxford University Press, explores Aotearoa New Zealand's Māori foreign policy and China, and the implications of using Te Ao Māori principles in the face of increasing great power tensions. With us this morning, we have Victoria University Master's student Bonnie Holster, who joins me now. Ngā mihi ki a koe, Bonnie.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. So the paper's called New Zealand's Māori Foreign Policy in China, a case of instrumental relationality. How does this using Te Ao Māori principles, in our foreign policy shape how we see the world?
Well, it's quite an interesting question because, you know, it's a very, very unconventional policy stance for an Anglosphere country like New Zealand, where our traditional allies such as, you know, Australia and the US are taking a very different stance to China, given the geopolitical situation that's going on there in the Asia Pacific at the moment. Underpins Māori societal structures is our relationships, you know, and it's the relationships between human to human, but also human to non-human, you know, our relationships with our awa and our whenua and our maunga are increasingly important, you know, they help identify us as a people, you know, and I guess with relationality, it's important to remember that, you know, our relationships are everything to us and they underpin the way we act, the way we conduct ourselves. So having more of a focus on relationships rather than just the isolated actions of actors is quite important to Māori culture, and this is how we portray ourselves in the world.
So is this different how other countries approach geopolitics?
I would say it's radically different, in my opinion. As I mentioned, other countries, especially with Western countries, they take a very traditional Western approach where actors and state actors, that's more what international relations is about, rather than focusing on the relationships and the entanglements in some cases that are that states as a means of interaction with other states.
Mm. So we had the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Nanaia Mahuta, on earlier. She does talk about the use of kaupapa Māori in foreign policy, and in fact she talks about the importance of culture, connection, and then commerce.
That is very important. I guess once again, it's the relationship building that's the most important, particularly with non-Western countries. For instance, with our Pacific region, relationships are very, very important. So while the commerce part of things is very important, it's probably more important first in the first instance to create those strong relationships of trust, recognising the mana of another nation state and their sovereignty, because, you know, especially in these unprecedented times, state sovereignty does matter, and the mana of other states does matter. And I think so rather than bowling in and, you know, trying to assert what we want from a relationship. I think Aotearoa New Zealand is taking a very different stance in creating relationships in the first instance to create that trust and then building in other areas later.
So what kind of relationship then has New Zealand been able to develop with China using this kaupapa Māori framework?
Well, it doesn't necessarily define our relationship with China, because we have been building a relationship with China for some time, since probably 2008 when we signed our free trade agreement with China. That was probably the beginning of the deepening of the relationship. It's important to note, though, that with this relational perspective that we're taking with China, it's helped us to create a very mature relationship. Some politicians have mentioned that it's quite a comprehensive partnership that Aotearoa New Zealand has with China. Some of the ministers in China have acknowledged the deeper relationship that we have, and we've been able to, you know, create a very unique and distinct relationship with China by focusing on the relationality aspect of it, possibly a bit more than our other Anglosphere partners such as Australia and the UK and Canada. I think using the relationality in the Māori ontology of the Te Ao Māori view has really helped us to deepen our connection with China.
So where does that place us? You know, there's been talk about New Zealand walking a fine line between the US and China. How does Te Ao Māori principles help there, or what?
Well, I guess it's important to remember that the US and China both play a very important and strategic role in the Asia Pacific, and I would say in the Indo-Pacific as well. It would be remiss of Aotearoa New Zealand to discount either relationship, because they are very important. They play very important roles within our regions. But I guess it can be challenging because Aotearoa is opting to take a middle ground position to maintain good relationships with both nations. But I guess because of the tensions and the geopolitical situation in the Asia Pacific at the moment, the space within which we can do this is shrinking as the US is responding more and more to China's actions. So that's something that our government no doubt is monitoring carefully.
You know, using Māori tikanga or principles in foreign policies, are there negatives in doing that?
In this situation, a negative might be that it doesn't necessarily, it's not well understood by our closest friends and allies, our traditional allies such as Australia and the other Anglosphere countries, is because we've got long-standing relationships, obviously, with Australia and to an extent with the US. You know, they are critical to our long-term security links, and if anything were to happen further with the geopolitical situation in the Asia Pacific, Aotearoa New Zealand may have to consider a different position. Also, Aotearoa has actually been criticised by some of our Anglosphere partners about not taking a stronger stance in some instances. So, you know, I guess being misunderstood could have a negative impact in a way.
And there's no guarantee that if there's a change in government that this Te Ao Māori principles will continue to play a role in our foreign policy?
Well, in my own opinion, I think that what Minister Mahuta has created here, it's not so much of a revolution as it's more of an evolution of foreign policy approaches that incorporate tikanga Māori and things like that. To be honest, this isn't, you know, a flash in the pan event. For instance, we've had the Treaty of Waitangi Exception Clause that features on all of our free trade agreements since 2001. Before that, we only had one free trade agreement that was with Australia in 1983, and then the second one, I believe, was with Singapore. And back then, the government or the opposition party at the time had said that clause would never feature again in any of our free trade agreements, but it's actually withstood the test of time, and it has featured in our free trade agreements ever since 2001, and it is actually a negotiation bottom line for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and trade negotiations now. So I wouldn't, it may take on a different form, and it may look different under a different government. However, I don't think, once again, that it will be taken away completely, because there has been slow but incremental change in terms of Māori policies on the domestic settings, but also that's starting to transcend the domestic settings and is going out into the international arena, which is I remain optimistic about that.
Thank you. That is fascinating, really interesting. Thank you for sharing your research with us, Bonnie, and we wish you all the best and look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Kia ora, thank you very much.
Kia ora.